Witness and testimony. You know, this is a very interesting word, and I want to go to the etymology of it. It's martus, okay, in the Greek tongue. And, well, let's just take the Latin also, and that kind of gives you part of the etymology of the word. It's memorare, which is, and in Anglo-Saxon, it is marnan. And it means to have the ability to remember or to put in mind and think on something. Because not always did you have a Bible you could carry with you, so if you were a witness or gave testimony to the Word, you had to have it up here. You had to have a good memory to be able to do that. And to be a witness, everybody, when you're a Christian, you're a witness to your community. They see you. They know you. And you carry forth that witness. And that's why that God blesses you, and that's why He uses you, so that you set that example. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 24th chapter of Luke, the great book of Luke. Luke being, in the Greek tongue, the light giver. And let's get a little light from Luke here today. Chapter 24, I want to pick it up with verse 44. The subject being witness or testimony, one and the same word, basically. Verse 44, and it reads, of Luke 24, the words of Christ as He's about to depart back to the throne of God. Okay, He's been crucified, and He has appeared to the apostles, and He's about to ascend back up to the Father. And these are His words, chapter 24, the great book of Luke, the Gospel, and the 44th verse. And He said unto him, Jesus speaking, of course, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, that's the Pentateuch, and in the prophets, that's the minor and the major, and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, all those prophecies concerning Messiah had to come to pass, just as it's written. Do you not understand that's why that it's good that you know the Scriptures? Because this is the way it's going to be. Man may have a lot of traditions, and man might say a lot of things. Always, from the beginning of time, it goes down the way it's written. The question is, as Jesus would always say, have you read it? Okay. Are you familiar with it? He said, this is what it's about. Not just part of it, but all of it must come to pass as it is written. 45, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Do you know that He can do that for you? It's called the unction of the Holy Spirit, or the operating of the Holy Spirit. You can wrestle with the Scripture, and you pray about it, and then bam! It comes into your mind just in a whole paragraph, all at one wad. Just boom, understanding. That's not an accident. That's the touch of God. That's the Spirit of the Father. Because He wants you to understand that Scripture. Why? So that you can be a good witness. That doesn't mean you get on a street corner and start handing out leaflets or publishing this or that. It means you live it. You're a walking witness, a walking example. Verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it speaks of that. Psalms 22, it speaks of He being crucified. Nails of the cross, whereby on resurrection, he built the salvation for you on repentance, that you could have that forgiveness. But it was written that that had to happen. That's why that when you read Psalms 22, even the words of the Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross are written in Psalms 22. Man can't do that, but God can. Scripture comes to pass exactly as it's written. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It had to go everywhere. Why? Because God loves all of his children. Doesn't matter where they are. The word's going to get to them, ultimately, for certain. 48, here's why we came here. And ye are witnesses of these things. And there's that martus, that word, to have to remember, to jog it in your mind. You know, people couldn't carry huge scrolls around to teach Bible. Again, you had to remember, and that's why the etymology of the word is such. And that's why you, not that you have to remember, memorize all of the word, but you remember those things about one man's family. And that was Adam, through which Christ would come, and how it would affect all people of the world. It's the word is that simple. It's a story of one man's family, and how all other people come in contact with that family. But the blessings go to everyone. Everyone, everywhere. And that's what the witness is. That's what the purpose is. That's why you do remember. So that people can have repentance. Because we all do fall short. And you need that repentance. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. And that power is not just an empty word. It means that from on high through the Holy Spirit, you have power if you'll use it. The power of prayer. The power of following Him. The power of being that witness. The power of that Spirit guiding you, leading you, directing you, touching you, whereby you know and are that witness of these events that transpired, whereby we have eternal life. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. You know where Bethany is? It's about a day's journey out the east gate up on the Mount of Olives. So we're situated right now at Bethany, up on the Mount of Olives. 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He ascended right there from the Mount of Olives, the same place he will return to, the same place his feet will touch down on, as it is written in many places at his return at the second advent. 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. He had promised, you're going to have this. So you see, ultimately what it amounts to, he ascended, but he didn't leave us. That's why you want to take that power very serious. I said, he ascended, and he's at the right hand of God. He is your associate. He is your spokesman. Right there at the hand of God. But yet, what he promised in that power is the Spirit of God that would never leave us. You're never alone. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. You may think, oh, what, the world's falling apart and here I am. And God's with you. And you want to witness to that. That's important. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. Let's go with it. And we're going back to the same place. This is the ascension again, but I want to reiterate it one more time so that you understand the witness. Verse 4 reads, and being assembled together, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. No, I taught this, and we just read in Luke where he had. And why did he say, don't leave Jerusalem? Yerushalayim, the city of peace. You want to always hold your peace until you receive what he sends to you. You know what? Because on your own, you can't do very much. On your own, if you just decide to move a mountain, unless God has instructed you, you're going to have a lot of shoveling. Okay. A lot of digging. It's going to take a long time to move that mountain. Mountain usually is symbolic of a nation. And if God tells you to move a nation and gives you the power to do it, you can do it. You can change minds. You can touch souls. You can change destinies. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. It's going to happen. It's going to be right away. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I mean, he had resurrected. He had defeated death. And listen, can we get heaven on right now? We're ready. Okay. Well, what would if that had been the case, if God had done that, what would happen to you? You hadn't come through this earth age yet. And a lot of you were lost. And you would never have had an opportunity to find Christ if the new heaven age had been brought in right at that time. You wouldn't have been tested. Because every servant is worthy to be tested, to document and to prove, hey, I can cut it. I can get it done. I can serve the Father. And when he gives me that power, when I wait upon that power, when I know from the Scripture and from the unction of the Holy Spirit that he's guiding me, I'm going to get it done. There is no question, no doubt. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. That's exactly the way it is when you follow his way, his path, and his time. So he'll restore Israel. And what you have to understand is it takes witnesses to do that. It takes testimony to do that. And he counts on his servants, God's elect, to do that. And that's why he uses them, and that's what their destiny is being that witness, living it. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Only the Father knew that time. Now, it is written, it was true, this generation wasn't even supposed to know the season. But we know from the book of Daniel in chapter 12 that you in this last days are supposed to know the season. You're supposed to know the seasons by the parable of the fig tree. Because it gives you the year of our Lord in which the final generation began, which was the year of our Lord 1948, when Israel became a nation again. And both the good and the bad fig were planted there. The thing is, do you know the difference? Okay. So our Father knows, and the wise do understand the seasons. Not the day, not the hour, but the season. 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. There's our word. Our witnesses, martos. Unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, that witness, that truth, must go all the way around the world. That every entity, every soul, has an opportunity to love him, to know what he has done for them, to lead them and direct them, and to give them that power from on high, where you can accomplish something. Not just talk about it. Do it. Be a can-do type person. That's power from God. That word, you know what the word power is usually is translated from? It's dunamis, which our word dynamite comes from. And that means power, power from there that you can cut it, you can move it. Verse 9 to continue. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Couldn't see him anymore. What was in that cloud, huh? Transportation. 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. A couple of witnesses here. Two witnesses, as a matter of fact. 11. Which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven?" Question. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." It's going to happen just like that. You ever wonder, well, how is he going to return? You just read it. Well, where is it going to be? Mount of Olives. Okay. Next verse. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet," which is Olives, "which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." And they had received that word, and they had seen him go. The two witnesses approached them, assured them, said, "You've read it. He's coming back. There's going to be a second advent. What are you standing out here for? Get to work. Do it. Do what God commands." Okay, so, but what was God's command? Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive what is promised. And that that he promised is still with us to this day. But it didn't come until the 50th day after Passover. And it still happens every year. It's called Pentecost. Pentecost is 50. 5 and 10 is 50, and it means 50 days. Most of God's calendar is divided up into 7 sets of 50s. That's a solar calendar. And that's why the Feast of Tabernacles always falls exactly 6 months after Passover. Okay? Because it's those sets and those groups that bring that to pass exactly that way. So, let's read of it in chapter 2, verse 1, this same book, book of Acts, chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," that means the 50th day, "the sun's up," it is that day, "they were all with one accord in one place." I mean, it's that feast day, it's that celebration day, "and people from all over the country are gathered at Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, as they were instructed from the Pentateuch, as it's written in the law of Moses. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." That wind is ruach, spirit. Well, it's pneuma in the Greek, but the ruach in the Hebrew is spirit. "And it filled all the house where they were sitting." There wasn't any room for anything but it. Okay. It consumed all. There was certainly nothing negative there. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were each given that power from on high." Everyone in that room. Well, what was it? Cloven, what does cloven mean? It means goes out in every direction. Okay. Not just one language, every language. Got it? Can man do that? No, of course not. Many of us can perhaps speak more than one language, but it's got to be one language at a time. But the Spirit can speak in all those languages at the same time. And the hearer, whatever language they speak, hear that language in their own dialect of the county they were born in. Okay? If it was down south, you all knew it. Okay? Right there, the Holy Spirit. Given witness. Okay. Verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues," that's other languages in the Greek, "as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, let me ask you a question. Who did it say gave them this utterance? Did it say they just picked it up? You got to force yourself to do this. No, you don't. You couldn't. You couldn't. The Holy Spirit gave it to them and spoke through them. And did you notice something that's minus here? You don't have any unknown. and you don't have any interpreter.
Well, why in the world wouldn't they have an interpreter?
Because they were speaking in every language. Didn't need an interpreter. Can man do that? No. But God can.
Okay.
That's why you have to wait for that power from Him in that respect, at that moment, at that time.
Well, what time are you talking about? Well, let's find out. Verse 5.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Judeans, may I say it, devout men out of every nation under the heaven. In other words, there were people there that spoke every language.
Okay,
I mean, that's why you had to be real careful in those days, and because, you know, you could address a group and half of them may not even know what you're saying without an interpreter.
Okay.
So that's what we've got here. We got, and after verse 11, it will start naming them. Verse 6. Now, when this was noised, or when this sound came forth abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were stunned, is what the Greek says, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They didn't have any trouble understanding it. It was clear. It was precise. It was to the point. When God speaks, you don't have to ask questions necessarily. It's clear. Crystal clear. And there it was.
Okay.
But that stunned them. I mean, these are country boys. They're all from this little place over here called Judea. I'm sorry, called where Christ was raised. They were from Galilee. Foreign people. Uneducated, they thought. Didn't, I mean, as far as they're concerned, if you're uptown, they didn't know a whole lot. And here they're speaking His tongue perfectly. And naturally they're stunned. And that's the reason they're stunned. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the true Spirit of God, always gets attention.
Okay.
Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They're not supposed to talk like that. Verse 8, And how hear we every man in our own tongue, language, wherein we were born, right down to the county? And so it was, Christ kept His promise. He sent what He had promised He would, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was upon them. Skip down to verse 16. They're wanting to hear what it does between there. It gives you all the countries they came from. They were, every language was there.
Okay.
And they're saying, how can this be? And Peter begins to explain in verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I don't know if you ever read it. It had to come to pass. It's written. 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. When was that? The last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, now, there's going to be a problem when this happens, because women are not supposed to talk in church. And what's going to happen when God kind of lets the Holy Spirit hit them, and they're just naturally like to talk and speak? I'm going to stop right there. But there are some churches that might have a little problem with that. But God loves all of His children. Male and female alike, witnesses, they're all witnesses. Why? Because the Spirit touches them in the power from on high, speaks through them, not in one language, not in two languages, not in three, but every language of the world, clearly. It's not them doing it. That's what you got to get through your mind. It's not them doing it. It's the Holy Spirit. Touching them. Okay. Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They're going to witness. They're going to teach. That's what prophesying is. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And these people doing this witnessing and this testimony will be pre-telling these things before they come to pass, and they will come to pass exactly as you say they will. Why? Because it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. The sun shall be turned into darkness, verse 20, and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. It's coming. And we're coming in on that time. You know, anyone that's experienced with current events in Bible prophecy, we're closing in. Things are happening. And you want to really be alert. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And so it was. Here is this witness. Kind of let you know what the destiny of people are. A lot of Christians say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, read it. It's coming. It's going to happen. This is what he expects you to do. Go to the 22nd chapter of the same book, Acts. Acts chapter 22. Paul was kind of a rounder before he was converted. And he let it be known. Christ has just converted him. And he speaks here. Verse 5 of chapter 22, book of Acts. And also the high priest doth bear me witness. There's that word again. They can testify to this, Paul says. And all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. In other words, the elders, the big boys downtown, furnished me letters to give me approval to arrest Christians. That's what Paul said. That was what I was doing. I mean, I could haul them off. I could drag them right out of there. And I had the documents to give me legal authority to do it. Verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? 8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And boy, he was doing it. Hey, Paul didn't do anything part way. That's why God chose him. He was a can-do type person. If he was on the wrong side, he was so zealous, he believed it. He believed in what he was doing. And this is how God chose him. And because of that zeal, and naturally, because he was certainly a different stance in the first earth age, verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. They heard the phone, which that's a Greek word meaning the sound, but they couldn't understand it, but Paul could. Paul could speak more languages than all of them. Okay. Verse 10, and I said, what shall I do? Lord, and the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. The Spirit in person told him. I mean, you know, he's got nothing to guess about. So he's on his way. 11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus.
Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, all the people of Israel that were there, so he is a good man. 13, come unto me. He came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, this was before his name was changed to Paul, okay, receive thy sight, and at the same hour I looked up upon him. 14, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, that's Messiah, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. You're going to be a witness, and you're going to hear that voice just as you hear the Scriptures, just as you understand the Scriptures, and set your life so forth as the Scriptures state. 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He was that witness. Witness to how many? All men. Paul was sent to three different peoples. Israel, kings and queens of the ethnos, and the ethnic people themselves. That's all. Everybody. Okay. Paul was sent. And that witness certainly would be brought forth. And Paul was that witness. 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Don't mess around. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is what Ananias said to him. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. He was right in the temple, minding his own business, praying. 18, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste. This is Christ speaking to him again. Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning thee. Why? He had persecuted the church. It was the big boys downtown that gave the letters to Paul to do in the Christians from the synagogue. And he was not a popular person there because of that. But what I want you to see from this, God forewarns his witnesses. You have to believe that. God lets his witnesses know. That's why you want to be patient to wait upon him and let God lead. Let God do and be as he is, and so he is. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. I beat those Christians something pitiful. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I held the clothes while they killed him. Not many people would know it, but did you know martus, I said, was the word witness? Do you know what the word martyr is? Martus. Same word. It's somebody that keeps that testimony regardless of what. You could not change them for anything. They will not change their witness. They would die before they would change that witness. And never think a thing about it. Therefore, the same word. I'd like for you to check it out yourself with your Strong's Concordance. Because martus in many places is translated martyr, even as it is here, the martyrs of Christ, okay? And so it is. But old Stephen, if you ever want a real big Bible lesson of the whole Bible in one or two chapters, read chapter 7 of this same book, Stephen's preaching. He was something else. He got it said. From coming out the gate to the end, he could cut it. Stephen was truly a witness. Verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. You know, a lot of people, when they serve a Christian life and Satan comes down on them, they go, well, what did what happened? Well, don't let it be a surprise to you. You're a child of God. You follow Christ. And if the world gets a chance to stomp on you, it's going to do it. But what you have to remember is you have power from on high. Don't be afraid to use it. Okay. Now, you are instructed exactly how you should use it, and maybe we should go there. Maybe we should learn how it is that you are supposed to use this power. At least someone should go too far with it. Let's close by going to Matthew chapter 10. I want to pick it up with verse 16. What is Christ doing here? He's got the 12, and he's sending them out into the world, and he knows what they're going to hit. There's going to be some opposition out there. They're going to receive some problems. And here he's telling them how to handle it and how the power will be with them. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, you need to really tear that up and get it in your mind. What does that mean? You've got to be smarter than Satan. Well, how could I do that? By having God's Scripture in your mind, by remembering, by being a good witness. You know that Christ has given you power and authority over Satan. You don't have to take that stuff from him. You can put a stop to it. And that's what you do. Now, but yet, well, how do I do it? Harmless as a dove. You know, a little old turtle dove is one of the sweetest little creatures God ever made. I just love to watch them. I've got hundreds of them. And how they love sunflower seed, you know, they sure do. But and when they just coo and have such a sweet sound. But let me tell you something. Don't you ever mess with the little female dove's nest. If you want trouble, if you want one of the most vicious little few ounces of feathers in your hair. You just mess with the true woman of God's house and see what happens to you. Okay? I can, if you want me to tell you, I can. You don't want to go there. Okay? Don't want to go there. So, you have to tear these things up and analyze them and know, naturally, if you're smarter than Satan, I mean, he's sending them out here now into the world. Okay? Preparing them. If you're smarter than Satan, He can't deceive you. This is why God would say to Satan in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, don't you dare touch mine anointed. That is to say, those that have the seal of God in their forehead, in their brain, my scripture. For they know they have power over you and they will whoop you. Boy, you better stay away from them, and he will. Okay. So that scripture has a little understanding. It sounds so sweet. Peaceful as a dove, wiser than the serpent. But remember what he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. If you've ever been around wolves, you don't want, you know, a little lamb, the only protection the lamb has is who? The shepherd. But he's in heaven. Is he? You better think. The shepherd never turns loose. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He would leave 99 and come after you if you're in trouble. Do it every time. So what you have to count on, knowing that you are a lamb of God among wolves, is that you have him. And if one of them dares, they're going to get thumped. Their old gourd is going to be tested. All right. He will take care of business. I believe that with all my heart. Okay. Now, continuing, verse 17. But beware of men. Now, that's what will get you in trouble.
For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. I mean, you're going to be delivered up for a witness, okay? That's what the subject of this lecture is you're a witness. Well, should I have to be afraid of that? Of course not. That's your destiny. Because the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. You don't even have to think about it. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For whose sake? Christ's sake. For a testimony. There's our word.
Okay.
Against them and the Gentiles, the nations that should be translated, that would come against God, of course. 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, but it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Well, what hour is that? The hour of temptation. The one spoken of in the book of Revelation. There's only one hour of temptation. That's the hour spoken of in Revelation 17 that Satan will be here on earth as the false Christ. You don't have to think about it. He's with you. You have to know that. That's why you're a can-do type person. You can get it done.
Okay.
You can cut it. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now let me ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit? You just read it. You've got to come with me. What is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. That's why you can be so comforted. And no word is written, God will never leave you nor forsake you. It means exactly that. And you have that assurance, that comfort, to know that He is with you and that He gives you that power over your enemies. And you handle it just like He said, wiser than the serpent, peaceful as a dove. Okay? 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Who is death? It's Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Christ came to this earth to die on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. You're delivered up not to death, but to the devil. Why? For a witness. For a testimony. Many people, through this mistranslation, misunderstand. 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You can't be hated for a better reason, beloved, because you're right.
Okay.
You're in the know and you're in the right when you're with Him and men hate you for Christ's name. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. God takes care of His own. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Never waste your time in planting seeds or being a witness where it's rough, unplowed ground and not received. Don't cast your pearls before swine.
Okay.
Some people don't want to hear.
Okay.
They don't care. They're too busy. So don't waste your time. Plant good seed, people that love the Lord. I'm not saying that you can't. You've got to plant seeds to sinners. That's why you're here.
Okay.
I mean, the good people don't need a doctor. The sinners that don't have truth do.
Okay.
A doctor of the Scriptures to help them, to strengthen them, to love them. Somebody that the Spirit of God leads and directs, okay? The disciple is not above his master. The pupil is not above his teacher. That's what it's saying. Nor the servant above the Lord. That's to say, above the master. It just doesn't work that way. It is enough for the disciples that he be as the master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? In other words, a lot of people say, I just want to be in the rose garden walking in the shoes of Jesus. They crucified him. They beat him. And you want them to do that to you? Okay, they'll try. Hey, if you want. So when things begin to fall apart in your life, you better get tough. I mean junkyard dog tough with Satan. And you better stand up against him and get your life straightened out. Get the bad thoughts out of your mind. Throw them out of your house. Start a cemetery in the backyard of bad thoughts if you have to. Throw them over your shoulder. Get rid of them. You don't have room for them. You don't have time for them. Okay. They call Christ bad names. They're going to call you some bad names. It's not all flowers. Got it? But hey, that's okay. Because you're right. And you have the blessings of God. That's what makes the difference. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. He knows everything, especially where his elect are. Okay? What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. You witness. You be there. Be a testimony. Just in living. Okay? You live it. Don't lose your credibility. Always maintain it. But know what you're doing. Do you know something? When you're sure of yourself, and when you know what you're doing, people note that. They want some of that. They want that guidance and direction. They want you to help them. And ultimately, they will come to you and ask. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the second death. When the second advent transpires, when the millennium takes place, that death at the end of that is the final. And it does take place, and it is the death of the soul, erased, blotted out. 29, are not two sparrows sold for a fourth one? And that's a tenth of a penny. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's knowledge. Okay, I had the word knowledge. He knows it. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God protects you. He loves you. He knows you. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Why? Because power from on high has come. Power from on high is that Holy Spirit. And what was the Holy Spirit? Now it's God's Spirit. That Ruach, that Pneuma, and the Ruach Holy Spirit is upon us when he touches you. Isn't there every day? When he's got something for you to do, it could be months or years apart. But you are a watchman. You're supposed to watch and listen and hear and know and understand. So that's what the etymology of the word martus means, is to remember. Don't forget. Keep in touch with the Scripture. Why? Well, it's the Word of God. And you know something? As we started out in the great book of Luke, he said, all these things have to come to pass. All these things must come to pass. And I assure you, they will come to pass. You can count on it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for choosing your election, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit, Father. Let it fall, Father. Use and guide and let these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name.